Hello everyone, I would like to welcome you all to this wonderful time as we listen to the Word of God and as we learn from the feet of our Master, our Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is worthy to be praised, who is worthy to be honored, and who is also worthy to be adored. Who is fully God and of course fully man, in order to bring to us salvation. Praise the Lord. So at this time, I'd like us to pray and ask God for clarity as we listen to Him today. Our Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth for this wonderful time and for this opportunity to hear from you again. Lord, I pray this afternoon that as we listen to your word, that you speak to us. I pray that you minister to us. And I pray that you change us. And I pray that you make us the people that you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, for listening ears and for hearts that will comprehend your word, that at the end we shall not only be hearers of your word, but also we shall be doers of your word. Thank you, Lord, and our Father, for hearing us, for we have prayed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'd like to say praise the Lord again. And if you have been following the series of teachings we have been going through for some time now, we have been going through the Authentic Christianity series. This is about the 9th series of Authentic Christianity, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And the title for today's message is Fix Your Thoughts on Jesus Christ. Fix your thoughts, my thoughts, our thoughts on Jesus Christ. We'll be reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, and I'll read from verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we will be stopping at verse 6. And so I start. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. See, for every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Praise the Lord. You see, the writer of this passage started with the word therefore. therefore, which is a conjunctive adverb, and it is used as a transition word in a sentence or in a paragraph. So basically, that word can be used to link sentences together. And the reason why the writer is used that would be because of his intention to carry on with the conversation from the book of Hebrews chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 6 of that Hebrews chapter 2. It says, "But there is a place where someone has testified, 'What is mankind that you are mindful of them? That is, son of man, that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet.'" In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to them, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Praise the Lord. You see here, the writer gives a picture of a group of people called by Jesus, a group of people referred to as the body of Christ. These people in this day and age we would call the church. But in actual fact, these people are the body of Christ. And so there's a picture here of what Jesus has done. How that Jesus at one stage was made a little lower than the angel. He humiliated himself. He humbled himself. He submitted himself to the will of the Father, to obey the Father's will completely. And in so doing, Jesus gave up everything, his glory, that which he had before the in heaven with the Father, that which he had as God, fully God, and came to the earth and lived and stayed with us as fully man. For him to be able to live as fully man and deliver us from our sins, he had to become like one of us. And so we see here the writer telling us that this Jesus, for a moment, for some time, he was made a little lower than the angels. But after Jesus defeated death, after Jesus defeated sin, after Jesus defeated Satan, the Bible tells us that Jesus has now been elevated. And because he has now been elevated, Jesus is now far, far, far above the angels, far superior to any human being, any creature or creation. Jesus is now at the top, at the head of everything. The Bible says everything has now been placed at the feet of Jesus. So this Jesus, who now sits in heaven, who has now called this group of people, the church, to be part of his body, he is the one that has been glorified. But we are told there that man, we do not yet see everything placed under the feet of man, because we are not yet been glorified. Because we have to face our own battles, our temptation. We have to fight and overcome temptations. We have to overcome our challenges. We have to overcome everything that this world brings to us. Although the believers who have given their lives to Christ, although they are positionally been placed, but in terms of our experiences, we still have to overcome. And it is only after we have overcome that we will come into this same experience that Jesus has now been to. And so it is only this Jesus who's been there, who's done it. He is the only one that can take us there. You see, no wonder the writer of this passage gives a very clear instruction or command. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, if we look at the opening sentence of that passage, it says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling. I'm going to talk a little bit about this. I remember we talked about these people, this group of people, the body of Christ, the church, the people who have come to Jesus, people who've given their lives to Christ, the believers. These are the people that the writer is referring to here. And he refers to them here as holy brothers and sisters. Holy, not perfect. See, what that simply means, that when we come to Christ, when we acknowledge Jesus, when we repent of our sins and ask Jesus to forgive us, Jesus forgives us. It brings us into this place of holiness, where we are now not perfect, but we are dedicated to Jesus and to God, and we are consecrated to Him. So we consecrate ourselves, our lives, we are dedicated to obeying God and to living the lives that He has called us to live. You see, this heavenly calling, as experienced by Jesus, which also we will experience eventually once we get to that point where we have overcome, because the Bible tells us it's only those who overcome that will receive the promise. So although Jesus has called us, He has saved us, but brothers and sisters, we must consecrate ourselves. We must work out our salvation. We must keep on dedicating ourselves. We must keep on keeping ourselves and working on our salvation by obeying God and doing the things that He wants us to do. Now, this heavenly calling is to share in the inheritance of Jesus. Let's remember, Jesus is already sitting and he's got everything under his feet. And Jesus is quite happy to share his inheritance with us. Having everything under his feet, Jesus is the head of this body. We, the church, the believers, we are his body, and which means we are his feet. And so Jesus is happy to share this with us. The heavenly calling also involves being crowned with glory and being crowned with honor. Jesus has been crowned with glory. Jesus has been crowned with honor. At the moment, Jesus is the only one that has been elevated above all things. The only one who has been tested and tried. The only one who tasted death for all. And so the only one who qualifies to take us through. He also is the only one who is fully God, who also became fully man, who has shown what it is to be humble in order to save us from the penalty and the power of sin. And so the writer admonishes us here to fix your thoughts on Jesus. For he is the only one who has the power to save from sin. And also, the only one who can bring true justice to this world. I'm sure we are all aware of what's going on in the world, in parts of the world right now. People are fighting and clamoring, calling for justice in certain parts of the world. But dare I say that true justice can only be achieved when Jesus brings it to us. And that is why we continue to trust him and call upon him, so that he would come and help us and bring true justice. There's no human system, no system of government, no human institution can guarantee true justice. It is just not in the human nature to do that. But we thank God because God is faithful. We thank God because God is able. And we thank God because God eventually will bring justice. So let us remember, the Bible tells us that justice is one of the cornerstones of the kingdom of God when Jesus comes. Jesus is going to come, and when he comes, he's going to bring justice to the human race. And so this writer acknowledges us to fix our thoughts on this Jesus. Fix our thoughts on Jesus. See, our thoughts are the things that we think about. They're very powerful. Thoughts could be the things we think about, our opinion on certain issues. What I believe the writer is admonishing us to do here is this: the things we think about. When we're making our opinion on issues, we must consider Jesus. We must remember Jesus. The world that we live in, we understand the world that we're currently living in by the things we see and the things we hear. But the things we hear are very important. Because the Bible says, for us as believers, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when we see something, the things we see, they stay with us. We process them. But when it comes to we, the things we think about, our thoughts consist of the things we see as well as the things that we hear. And so what the writer is saying to us here is this, that we should think about Jesus. The things we think about, the things in our mind. See, as we process the challenges of this world, as we go through the challenges of this world, as we grapple with temptations and trials, we must fix our thoughts on Jesus. Because he is the only one who has got the power to help us and to deliver us. Now, the things that we think about, to a large extent, they determine what we do. And what we do determines what we become. What we become determines who we are. Who we are determines who we can influence and who we can minister to as well. And so you will agree with me that for us as believers, it's very important that we are able to, by the power of God, by submitting ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit and listening to the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, the way he leads us, that we are able to minister to people in order to bring them into the kingdom of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the reason why Jesus came. Because Jesus wants people to come to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, if we remember in Genesis, we are told that Adam sinned against God because of disobedience. He clearly did not obey what God told him to do. And so by reason of the sin, because of disobedience, the clear consequence was that man, Adam, and the whole of mankind will be separated from God. And that was what happened. But God, because of his love for us, God who always wanted to build, to have a family, to bring us into that heavenly calling, where we partake of the inheritance of Christ, where we are become members of his body, God decided not to give up on mankind, but God decided to give mankind another opportunity, a second opportunity. And he sent Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, who is fully God and fully man, into this world to come and die for us. And when Jesus came, he suffered. Jesus was humiliated. Jesus experienced, you know, a lot of horrible experiences so that you and I, we would not go through that. And eventually, in the end, Jesus died on the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, he went into the spiritual realm and he defeated Satan. Not only did he defeat Satan, he took the keys from Satan, and Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. And people saw him when he ascended into heaven. And the Bible tells us that this same Jesus has gone into heaven will one day return. And so, by doing this, Jesus made a way for mankind. Jesus gave us another opportunity to have a relationship with God. So in having this relationship with God, we can now call God our Father. What an amazing thing. What an amazing relationship. To be able to refer to God as Father. This was the kind of relationship that God always wanted for human beings. But you see, I have no recollection of this relationship between God and Adam, because Adam did not refer to God as Father. The thing there is this. This is an amazing relationship. This is a relationship that God wants for every human being. And as you're listening to me, I want you to just ask yourself a question. Can I truly call God my Father? Am I in a position to sincerely refer to God as Father? If you feel or if you know that your answer to that question genuinely is no, then I'd like you to please consider giving your life to Christ. Repent of your sins. Ask him to forgive you your sins. And ask our Lord Jesus Christ. Invite him into your life and ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. And Jesus would give you peace and you will be in a position to be able to refer to God as your Father. And he will refer to you as his son or his daughter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, going back to our main text, I'll read from verse 2. This is Hebrews chapter 3. It says, he was faithful to the one who appointed him. We're talking about Jesus now. That Jesus was faithful to the one who appointed him. Now here, if we remember in verse 1, we are also told to consider Jesus and we acknowledge him as our apostle, which is one that is sent, and our high priest, which is the one that makes atonement for sin. Now in verse 2 here, from verse 2, it says he was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. You see, so here the two ministries have been placed in parallel here. The ministry of Jesus Christ and the ministry of Moses. Moses was a type. Moses' ministry was a type that brought a type of salvation to the children of Israel. Salvation from the Egyptian bondage and slavery over 400 years. Moses was sent like an apostle to them to bring them out of Egypt. So in essence, to bring them salvation, a type of salvation, but could not bring salvation to the entire human race, to mankind. But here we see Jesus, hallelujah. We see Jesus here, who was able to bring salvation to humanity, to the whole of mankind. The Bible tells us here that Jesus was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. So Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. See, for every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Now, the house of God, which is the church of Christ, is the house of God, is being built by Christ. I'm talking about Jesus and Moses now. See, Jesus, to start with, Jesus is far, 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 far superior to Moses. Far, far, far superior to any human being, and far, far, far superior to any angel, okay? Or to any ministry. Jesus' ministry here, not only was he sent to come and deliver us as our apostle, but also as our high priest. Moses was not a high priest. Hence, he needed Aaron to do the priestly duties. Because the ministry of the priests was not given to Moses, but was given to the Levites. But we see Jesus here combining the ministry of the apostle who brings the deliverance and salvation to us, and as well as a high priest who makes atonement for our sins. And so here, we're talking about building the house of God. Moses was called to build a type of a house, which, you know, relates to the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, bringing them house, bringing them out of Egypt. So, but this house that God is building is far, far, far bigger than, you know, what Moses did. If anything, Moses' house or Moses' work is part of what God is doing. So it's a part of the bigger picture. So Moses was faithful in his own house, in his calling. Moses was faithful in the things that God told him to do. He was faithful. Moses was there. Moses stuck himself out for the children of Israel. But unfortunately, he did not make it into the promised land, not because of his fault, but because the people that he was leading pushed him to it. But Jesus was faithful over. Let's remember here, Moses was faithful in. Jesus was faithful over the house of God. So, not only is he the owner of the house, but he is also the builder of the house. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus' ministry, Jesus' work is a far, far, far bigger thing than what Moses did. But we must not forget that Moses was an incredible servant of God. Moses was a wonderful servant of God. It says, verse 6, it says, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Jesus Christ has come to deliver us. Jesus Christ has come to pay the price. Jesus, like we heard earlier on, Jesus suffered humility to the extent that he was even made lower than the angels. Jesus, fully God, fully God, was made lower than the angels for a moment, for a season, because of you, because of me, so that he can deliver us. And we thank God, Jesus completed the job. Jesus has paid the price by shedding his blood. Jesus has paid the price by dying on the cross. Jesus has completed the job by resurrecting from the dead, and he now sits crowned in glory and in honor. And Jesus now is waiting for us. Jesus wants us, brothers and sisters, to overcome. So as we go through life, as we're faced with the temptation of life, the challenges of life, brothers and sisters, the only way we can overcome, the only way we can go and, you know, defeat the enemy, the only way we can overcome, the only way we can subdue mountains, the only way We can, the only way we can get to the place where God wants us to get to is by completely fixing our thoughts on Jesus, by thinking about Jesus, by allowing Jesus to be everything for us. You know, brothers and sisters, as we think, let us think Jesus. Even as we express ourselves, as we give our opinion on issues, on everyday issues of life, let us remember Jesus. That way, when we do that, God will help us. And God will bring us to the point where not only are we going to be part of the house that God is building, we're not just going to be part of the house, but we will now partake of Jesus' inheritance, which Jesus has already done for us. But we have a part to play. We have to overcome sin. We have to continue to consecrate ourselves to Jesus. We have to continue to dedicate ourselves to Jesus. We have to continue to obey the word of God. Obey Jesus. Let's remember, we're told in Matthew chapter 7 that it's not all who call me Lord, Lord, Lord that will inherit the kingdom of my Father in heaven, but they that do the will. So brothers and sisters, there is something that we have to do. We have to do the will of God. Brothers and sisters, there are stuff for us to inherit. There are stuff for us to inherit, but before the inheritance, the will must be done. It is the will being done first, obedience first, and then the inheritance. That's the order. That's the order. So we first of all obey God. We first of all, walk and do the things God wants us to do. So obey Him. Do His will. And then He brings us into the place of our inheritance. Because when we do His will, when we obey Him, He will see us through. He will give us the strength and the power to overcome temptation and continue to keep us in Him, in His love. And then eventually, He will bring us into the place of Jesus' inheritance. And that's the place where we sit down with Jesus in His glory and in His honor, in His glory and in His majesty. And we will worship Him for the rest of our lives. We would obey Him for the rest of our life. That's all God wants us to do, to worship Jesus, to worship Him, God, and to obey Him, to love Him, obey Him, and worship Him. And God's name will be glorified. Thank you very much, and God bless you.